Have you ever noticed how and when you pray? Under what circumstances? And what do you pray for? And what emotional and spiritual state you are in while praying? It would be fascinating to chart the situations in which you pause to pray. One writer has said that our prayers can be divided like this: prayers of wow, prayers of thanks, and prayers of help. When and why do you pray? Do any of us pray without ceasing? The theologian Elton Trueblood wrote a book entitled The Prayers of Jesus. Trueblood examines the 17 different references in the four Gospels of Jesus offering prayer. These references can be divided into four different contexts that prompted Jesus to pray. And all of his prayers suggest this one thing: Jesus was truly human and truly needed to pray, as do we. Now, the first context is Jesus offering prayer in connection with food. In a moment, we will remember the prayer that Jesus offered during the Last Supper. During that Passover meal in an upper room, Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he shared it with his disciples. The sharing of food is always a good time to pray to God and to remember the one from whom all blessings flow. A prayer of thanks for our daily bread, as the Lord's Prayer teaches us. A simple thank you for the sustenance we all need. A second context is Jesus offering prayer in connection with healings. One of the most poignant healing stories is when Jesus takes a deaf man with a speech impediment aside, away from the crowd, and in private, Jesus puts his finger into his ears and onto his tongue. And then he prayed, "Be opened." And immediately the man could speak and he could hear. There is no other healing quite like this, a moment of private prayer with a needy man. You could read about that healing in Mark 7. The third context is Jesus offering prayer for particular people, particular folks he knew. Remember that prayer that Jesus offers for Peter: "I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brethren." That prayer offered in Luke 22 comes right before Peter does in fact fail Jesus, not once, but three times. Later, Peter was embraced by the risen Christ at the lakeshore and three times recommissioned to become the leader of the disciples. In our prayer in John 17, Jesus prays in particular for all of his disciples, and more on that in a moment. The fourth context is Jesus offering prayer in times of decisions and crisis. For instance, Luke tells us that Jesus was praying at the time of his baptism by John the Baptist. Jesus prays all night long before he chooses the 12 to be his intimate followers. Jesus prayed alone before he asked his disciples at Caesarea Philippi, "Who are people saying that I am, and who do you say that I am?" So the moment of revelation is preceded by prayer. Finally, Jesus prays in times of high stress and crisis. None was more stressful than the last hours of his life. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays that prayer that we all know by heart: "If you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Several of Jesus' last words on the cross are, in fact, the prayers of a dying man: "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And at the end, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus' life in Luke ends with a prayer. So Jesus prays in gratitude for the food that he receives. He prays as he heals the suffering. He prays for individuals and groups that he loves. And he prays in time of decision and in times of crisis. All these examples, I think, teach us to pray quite simply for our daily bread, for those who suffer, for individuals and groups that we love, and strength in times of crisis and decision. So Jesus' longest prayer in John 17, from which we read this morning, is sometimes called Jesus' high priestly prayer. He is praying as the high priest that has been given his followers by God. He is about to leave them, and he is concerned for their well-being and more especially for their mission in the world. Jesus prays that somehow his own self-offering will inspire them and guide them in their lives. He prays that the Paraclete, his word for the Spirit, will prompt them to bear witness to a world that needs good news and a world that is often very hostile. So Jesus prays for their faithfulness and for their courage. And he also prays, what I love, is for their unity of heart, that spiritual bond that will somehow bear witness to the world that the good news is in fact good. And finally, he prays that in the fullness of time, his disciples will be gathered with him in his glory. It really is an astonishing prayer. Jesus knows that the road ahead will present real challenges. And two petitions in this long prayer mean a lot to me personally. First, Jesus prays that my joy may be complete in themselves. I am reminded of that wonderful phrase in the prophet Nehemiah, who says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." And my first sermon during seminary was from Hebrews 12. It celebrates Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Jesus wants to share his joy with his followers then and now. May there always be joy in our serving Christ together. How dreary it is when it's done simply out of duty, with a dour face. Oh, God, help us. I mean that. And the second petition that I particularly like is this. I am not asking that you take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. That sounds quite similar, doesn't it, to the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We do face a lot of difficulties in the world, but we have been sent into the world precisely to bring good news. Why? Because God so loved the world. Jesus prays that our ministry in the world will be fruitful and transformative. This is not a prayer that goes like this, "Beam me up, Scotty." No, no. But a prayer to keep us faithful even as we serve the world for whom Christ died. So, Jesus prays for us. Prays for us and our life together, our ministry in the world, our unity with one another, and for joy in serving him. Friends in Christ, as we come to this table of the Lord, may we experience yet again the love of Christ that welcomes you and gives you strength and joy in our journey together. Come and receive grace upon grace. Thanks be to God. Amen.